the unknown.
Mystery.
Space.
Science!
Have fun.
Adventure.
Suspense.
Fantasy.
Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror.
Welcome to the Journey Into podcast. I am your guide, Marshall Latham, coming to you from our new base camp in Turner, Oregon. Today's story was written by D.K. Thompson. No, it is not the next issue of Cyberpunk, though Cyberpunk will be returning to the podcast sometime soon. Today's story is a little different. The first story I ever heard from Dave was Last Respects on Pseudopod. In that story, he combines vampires with communion, resurrection, and good old family values. Since then, I was hooked on Dave's brand of taking biblical concepts in new, different directions. That's not the only type of stories he writes, of course, but it's what I knew first, and thus why you are listening to today's story. I will link to some of Dave's other stories in the show notes. Side note, I recently got to meet Dave and his family while they were traveling through North Idaho. And we had a great time. It was a quick visit, but it was great to meet face to face, and to see his wife and kids. Great people. God-Shaped Box is read to you today by none other than Lawrence Santoro. If you've ever listened to the Starship Sofa, you may have heard his voice. He's been voted best narrator for 2 years running by fans of the show. Lawrence lives in Chicago. And aside from narrating, he is a multiple award-winning writer of contemporary fantasy, science fiction, and horror. As story supervisor and associate producer of the syndicated television series Hide and Seek, Larry wrote, directed, and supervised production during the comedy-slash-mystery show's first season. As the literary manager-slash-dramaturge of Chicago's Organic Theater Company in the 1990s, he led the script development arm of what was then one of the nation's leading producing theaters. In 2001, the Horror Writers Association nominated his novella God Screamed and Screamed, Then I Ate Him for a Bram Stoker Award in Long Fiction. In 2002, his production of Gene Wolfe's The Tree Is My Hat was presented at World Horror Con. Introduced by Gayne Wilson, the audio drama featured a performance by best-selling author Neil Gaiman. Larry's script was nominated for a Stoker Award in 2003. A compact disc of the production is available. His first solo book, Just North of Nowhere, was published in 2007. An expanded edition of the novel is now available on Kindle, Nook, iBook, and other ebook formats. Links in the show notes. Drink for the Thirst to Come, a collection of Santoro's recent short fiction, will be published by Silver Thought Press this month, August 2011. Now, come with me as we journey into divinity.
God-Shaped Box by D.K. Thompson. Read by Lawrence Santoro.
I didn't kill God. We should clear that up right away. I just captured him and put him in a little box. What sounds harder than it actually was. Hannah helped me make it, her dark, sad eyes, so serious, so focused, behind the wire-framed glasses she always wore, her slender fingers tracing the passages from the Bible. A long time ago, God, you see, gave instructions on how to build a tabernacle for him to inhabit. That story made us wonder, if the infinite can be confined to a building or a tent or a room, then why not a box? Together, we scaled it down so that the temple box could fit in my palm. It looked like one of those buildings in a snow globe you'd buy at an airport, just without a shell. God went easy, without any kind of a struggle. That's the strangest part, really. A lot of people ask, why didn't God fight? Why did he let us do it to him? To be honest, I'm really not sure. All I know is that we put him in the box, and he never tried to stop us.
How?
We just asked him. We had a little help, prayer amplifiers that played recordings of other people begging for God to come, the signal directed at the box. Hannah and I prayed, too. It was the first time I'd prayed since our son Adam died. I even closed my eyes. When I let go of Hannah's hand and looked at the box, it glowed, pulsing light, like we'd captured a sun. I almost touched the box, but Hannah stopped me, reminded me how God killed a man just for touching the Ark of the Covenant to keep it from falling into the mud. So, after that, we carried the box around in a glass case, completing the snow globe effect. One time, before he got sick, my son told me he was going to draw a picture of God. Can you believe? I discouraged him. There was something else he was supposed to be working on, so I suggested he come back to the picture later. You know, that's one of my biggest regrets in life. Never seeing that picture, never getting a chance to know what my 5-year-old thought God looked like. Another is never actually seeing God myself when we captured him. I don't even know if he was a he or a she. I would have liked to have ended that debate, to have seen him with my own eyes, but blessed are those who have not seen and believe. The day after we captured him, I called a press conference. Well, no one believed us, of course, not at first. Some doubted and tried to discredit us, but after a few years, nobody paid them any mind. The rest of the world caught on pretty soon. People didn't stop believing exactly, but more people, churches, and religions expressed a feeling of discontent, a void in their belief system they hadn't experienced before. Well, not just Christians either, no. The Buddhists gave up on nirvana, Muslims stopped making the pilgrimage to Mecca. Pretty soon, no one went to church, temple, or wherever they practiced anymore. Some people kept praying even after they found out we'd stolen their prayers. Well, the next step was obvious. It was the reason we'd gone through with all of this in the first place. We asked God to bring our son back. We'd done this before. Why couldn't he do it for us? But God refused. Actually, he didn't even respond. I wanted to throw that stupid box against the wall. We'd expected this. We were made in God's image, and we'd overthrown him, become like gods ourselves. So, it was time to make things the way we wanted, in our image. Hannah asked other questions. He never answered, but he did react. We studied and recorded the situations and tried to figure out how he worked. We ran tests and experiments, always careful to never touch the box itself. We observed how prayers interfaced with God. We measured how they affected him. Sometimes the glow faded. I like to think he was sleeping then, that we'd tired God out. Other times the box shook and the lights inside flashed, but nothing ever changed. We learned a lot. We grew in knowledge and stature and wisdom and understanding and nearly became omnipotent. After a few months, we transferred half the prayers directed to God and harnessed them ourselves. And since we couldn't make him do what we wanted to do, we tried to duplicate the infinite inside the box and put it into ourselves. We almost got it right. We withdrew Adam's body from the cryostorage facility. We thawed him out, plugged him into a monitoring and life support system, one that would jumpstart his body and keep it running. All we needed to do was to get his brain functioning. We took all the power directed at God, rerouted it through our prayer harness, and sent it to our son's brain and nervous system. Sometimes Adam's little body would twitch on the table. Once the shock of it even opened his eyes. But no matter what we did, we couldn't bring him back. It devastated us. Hannah sobbed and sobbed, staring at him and screaming at the box. She and I fought over everything from scientific methods to what dinner we should microwave. Hannah had the breakthrough, realized the emotions were getting in our way. So we built wireless Spinal Tap interfaces and tapped into our brains, rearranged our neurons and chemical balance. The first thing we did away with was pain, replacing it with happiness. That made things with Adam easier. Next, we changed our immune systems and made them stronger, almost destroyed death, extending our lives just shy of immortality. Then we gave it away to everyone in the world. For a while, oh, it was bliss. Wars stopped because no one wanted to fight anymore. Sicknesses were cured. The crime rate dropped. The economy boomed. It was a new era of peace and prosperity. And every night people went to bed happy, knowing the world would be there when they woke up. We didn't pay the rest of the world much attention, though. We just kept trying to bring Adam back and kept failing. We just kept trying to bring Adam back. It would have been frustrating if we had not been so happy, but we stayed happy. We knew we'd figure it out eventually. Sometimes I thought I saw Hannah's smile falter when she looked at Adam, but when I asked her about it, she just smiled and shook her head, and we'd bury ourselves in our work. Then one morning I got out of bed and realized Hannah wasn't there. I walked into the lab where we kept the God-shaped box, and I saw the glass case had been removed. On the ground lay Hannah. Her skin was cold, and she didn't breathe, but she had a smile on her face. Clutched to her chest was a picture of our son, her other arm outstretched toward the box. All I felt looking at her face was happiness. I tried and I tried to feel something different, but I couldn't stop smiling. I didn't like it at all. I stared at the box and didn't do anything for what felt like a long time. I opened it, hoping to let God out. I don't know if it was to free him or scream at him or commit suicide. It doesn't really matter because he wasn't there. There was nothing inside. The box was empty. God had disappeared. And all I felt was happiness. And then I realized that the box wasn't glowing. Maybe it had stopped when Hannah had touched it. I disconnected myself from the prayer harness, but left Hannah online. Maybe the prayers would do her some good wherever she was. I briefly wondered what happened to heaven and hell while we kept God occupied. Then I accessed my chemical balance and tried to do away with the happiness. That lasted for only a few seconds. The sadness and melancholy that hit me was so overwhelming, I cried for days, even after I restored my happiness levels. In the end, I could only tone them down a little. Ever since then, I've been looking for God, traveling all over the world, trying to find him. Sometimes, while I'm searching, the happiness fades a little bit, and a longing replaces it. I like that sense of longing better, I think. I don't know why God stayed in the box for as long as he did, but I am not so arrogant as to believe we fooled him. I think he went into the box because he wanted to, not because we made him do it. I don't pretend to understand why. I still haven't found God, but I hope I find him again one day. I'll keep looking until I do.
Thank you. Now, in commenting on this story, I run the risk of turning people off by them feeling that I'm pushing my beliefs or religion in general on them. That's definitely not my intent. I'm simply responding to the story within the framework of my own belief system, and I definitely don't expect anyone to change theirs based on what I have to say. I like this story for the questions it asks, rather than any conclusions it may have led to. I think a lot of people tend to try to put God in a box and show belief and devotion based solely on their own will and only on their own terms. I also like how characters in the story use scientific methods to analyze and experiment on God, and they learn much, but in the end, they are still left mystified by God and are still searching for answers. I'm reminded of the scripture in the Book of Mormon that states, "Believe in God, believe that He is, and that He created all things, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that He has all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend." Well, next week we will descend from such heights and visit a couple who have much less pious pursuits. In fact, they have aims to break one of God's biggest commandments, "Thou shalt not kill." Join me for that next week. Until then, journey on. The Journey Into podcast is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives license. It may not help you resurrect your son, but it will allow you to proselyte this episode to anyone you wish. However, thou shalt not sell it for filthy lucre, and thou shalt not alter it. There shall be no other version of this episode besides mine. The opening and closing hymn was provided by Man in Space.